The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders, the Australians.
Sono felice di servire, Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ne kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
Hello, my name is Reed Nielsen, and I'm an assistant professor of church history and doctrine at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, where I teach on the global church. Today I'm interviewing President Daniel K. Fry, president of the Brazil Belo Horizonte Mission. President Fry, thank you for being with us today.
Glad to be with you.
As we start this interview, I'd like to ask you about your family. Would you introduce yourself for our listeners?
You bet. I was born and raised in a small community of Santa Clara, Utah, which is just outside of St. George. That community was settled by Swiss immigrants who were converts to the church, immigrated to Utah, and sent by Brigham Young to establish the southern Utah area. Born and raised there, served a mission in Brazil in 1971 and 72. Attended university, Southern Utah University, graduated with a bachelor's degree in zoology, attended dental school at University of the Pacific in San Francisco, California, returned to the St. George area, and practiced for 28 years there. As far as church service is concerned, served as an elders quorum president three times on high council, served as a bishop, 10 years in a stake presidency, and then received our call to serve as mission president in 2006. We have been here, we're finishing our 35th month, and so we'll be returning home in another month.
So this will probably be possibly the first and last interview you do while as a mission president in Brazil, right?
Probably so.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we caught you. It's a delight to hear what's going on in the church all over the world, and it's especially fun today to hear what's going on in Brazil, an area that we have not yet talked about. So you were called almost 3 years ago to be president of the mission here in Brazil. What were your reactions when you first were called?
Well, the call came out of the blue. I was practicing full-time as a dentist, and one day, my receptionist came back, stuck her head in one of the operatories where I was working on a patient, and she said, Elder Perry's secretary is on the phone. She'd like to speak to you. I visited with her just a minute. She indicated that Elder Perry would like to visit with my wife and I, and we made an appointment, and that began the process. And, of course, once we received the call, it then takes another 2 or 3 months before you actually are called to a specific mission. But having served in Brazil and with a language basis in Portuguese, we expected that it would probably be to Brazil.
What was your reaction when you got the call?
Surprise, but gratitude, I would say, was the two main feelings.
Well, I imagine that you, when you got the call, fought back on your earlier missionary service as a young man.
Well, for those of us that have served missions, there probably is not a day that passes that I don't think about my mission, that I don't draw from that mission experience and faith and encouragement. And all of those, a great flood of feelings and thoughts that come to you in that situation, yes.
Well, thank you. In fact, before we talk about your mission today in 2009, let's go back and talk about the church in Brazil years ago. What was the church like in Brazil at that time? And then perhaps during the interview we can contrast or compare then and now with your experiences.
Sure, I think that's one of the great interesting things about Brazil. Brazil is one of the countries in the world where the church has enjoyed phenomenal growth. During my time in the early 70s, there were probably 6 or 7 stakes in Brazil. There are now 216. There are over 1 million members here now. In the early 70s, there were 3 missions. There are now 27. And so you get a little bit of a feel for what has happened in a period of 3 or 4 decades. It really is phenomenal and almost mind-boggling.
Well, having served as a missionary myself, I'm well aware that many missionaries experience culture shock when they go to new lands and experience new foods and peoples and languages. I can only imagine it was culture shock for you in a very real sense, not to be back in Brazil, but to see the country and the church so different than it was at that time.
That's correct. In the area that we serve now, the state of Minas Gerais, when I was here, there were 6 missionaries in this state and 1 small branch. There are now 2 missions, 80 wards and branches, 6 stakes, and 7 member districts. That is a tremendous change that I have witnessed just in my life. And I don't consider myself to be an old person. And to see and to witness that is, as you said, a bit of a culture shock. It truly is.
It seems in recent years there's been sort of a shift with the allocation of resources. I know that I served in Japan. There's fewer missionaries in Japan today and fewer missions for that number than there were years ago when I served there. And my understanding is that many of these resources from parts of Asia, continental Europe, etc., where the church is growing slower, are being shifted down south, where the church is really growing, into places like Brazil. Is that your understanding? Is that sort of the sense that you get being on the ground there?
Yes, I think that's true. Elder Perry, last year in the New Mission President's Seminar in 2008, June of 2008, indicated that that's exactly what's happening, that the resources that the church has, they're putting the resources where there is more potential for growth, and of course the purpose of the church is to preach the gospel and to get the message of the gospel to as many people as it can with the resources that it has. And so that it only makes sense that they use those resources and that effort to put where the greater majority of Heavenly Father's children can hear and will accept the message that the missionaries are teaching.
Well, I can only imagine the dilemma facing the brethren on a daily basis, realizing that that resources are finite. You know, we have a certain number of missionaries. How do we bring the most number of our Heavenly Father's children into the fold and into
That's
the covenant
correct.
Of baptism, etc.? So it sounds like you're the beneficiary of a lot of wonderful things right now in the Brazil area.
Yes, we truly are.
Well, let's talk about Brazil for a moment. Of course, most people are aware of generally where it's located, but don't know a whole lot more about that. Tell us about Brazil. Where is it located specifically in South America? Who are its neighbors? What's the culture like there, the form of government?
Well, Brazil is the largest country of South America. It's located on the eastern part of the continent. You have certain settlements, certain small areas throughout the country in the south. There are local geographic areas where there are a high concentration of Germans, and there's a little bit of German spoken, but by and large, Brazil is predominantly Portuguese-speaking, and Portuguese is similar to Spanish, but different also. Culturally, it's a very climatically, it's a very tropical climate. The equator goes through Brazil. Everyone has heard of the Amazon jungle,
right?
The great Amazon River, which exists in the northern part of the country. The southern part of Brazil is a little colder, although very, very rarely do you have any freezing temperatures or any snow in Brazil. It's very tropical in nature. Aesthetically, it is a beautiful, beautiful country. It truly is.
Well, thank you for that description. You mentioned about the German immigrants there. That's an interesting place to start our story as far as the church in Brazil. I think most Latter-day Saints are unaware that the first members of the church in Brazil were actually German immigrants who were living there in the area during the early 20th century. And eventually, missionaries were working almost exclusively among German-speaking colonies in Brazil in the years before World War II. Eventually, because of some political issues, the Brazilian government said, hey, you're not going to be doing this anymore. And finally, the church said, okay, we won't be using German language in church meetings beginning in 1939, which is probably interesting to listeners that aren't as aware of the history. In fact, it wasn't until 1942 that the church actually adopted Portuguese as the official language of missionary work there in the whole country of Brazil. I know that the São Paulo temple there in Brazil was a huge milestone in church growth in Latin America in terms of growth and also in terms of bringing temple blessings to Father in Heaven's children who did not have those same blessings as a result of the revelation on the priesthood in 1978, a very, very important moment in our church's history. And it's my understanding that today, Brazil is only behind the United States and Mexico in terms of the number of members. Does that sound right?
Yes, that's correct. And not very far behind Mexico. In fact, Brazil and Mexico are very close. And I'm not sure whether Mexico is even ahead of Brazil or now or not. It may be a little bit ahead in total number of members, but Brazil and Mexico are very, very close in total number of members.
Well, there's no question that the center of gravity of the church continues to sink to the south in places like Mexico, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, and other places in Latin America, the Pacific Islands, and over in West Africa. We've moved from being a North American church to, in a few more years, we truly will be a South American church, I think.
In recent years, the great growth of the church has been in Central and South America, and of course, that, in a sense, is fulfilling of prophecy that we encounter in the Book of Mormon as to how the children of Lehi will receive the blessings of the gospel and how those bloodlines will be blessed. So we really do see the fulfillment of prophecy that was made literally hundreds and thousands of years ago.
Well, in my class on the global church here at BYU, sometimes my students get very excited about what's going on and come up and ask me after class. They say, Professor Nielsen, what can I do to help the church grow internationally? And my reaction is always learn Spanish or learn Portuguese, because that's where the service opportunities are going to be in the coming decades.
Yes, that's very good. You're absolutely right. And that's one of the things that they can do. Another thing, if you're wanting to know how to help the church grow, contribute to the missionary fund. The majority of our missions now, here in our mission, and I assume it's true throughout Brazil, are Brazilian missionaries. When we arrived here 3 years ago, we were about 65% American and 35% Brazilian missionaries. And that number has flip-flopped. We're almost 70% Brazilian now. And many of those Brazilian missionaries come from homes where there is only one, or more often than not, neither of the parents are members. These are young people who have heard the gospel, who have been converted to the gospel, who have joined the church, who have wanted to serve, and consequently, they have not much support from home, especially monetary support. And they're basically supported by people who contribute into the general missionary fund. And without that contribution and that offering, many of these young men and women who are serving would not have that chance and opportunity. And so I agree with you. Learn a language, prepare yourself, but contribute financially too. It's a great, great blessing to these young people who can participate and serve. They then return home prepared to meet the world. They're trained. They've learned the gospel and taught the gospel. They've felt the Spirit and are then ready to contribute in positions of leadership and help their own branches and wards grow.
Well, I appreciate that sentiment, President. In fact, a few years ago, I was talking with a colleague of mine who was a return mission president from Brazil, and he was sharing the same trend that you just pointed out, that it used to be mostly North Americans coming down to Brazil with a few Brazilians, and that's totally flip-flopped. And he made a very interesting comment to me, which I'll share with you now. I said, well, President, what do you think? Do you think this is a good thing? He said, well, I hope the day never comes that there aren't North American missionaries in places like Brazil. And my assumption was, oh, just so the North Americans could help show them how the church is to be run and operated, having grown up where the church, the full program of the church, has been around for a long time. And he said, no, that's not why. And I was a little surprised. I said, well, why? And he said it's so imperative for these Brazilian elders and sisters to see how they can compete, and I use that word loosely, but see how they can stand side by side with North American elders and sisters and realize that they are just as good, have just as strong testimonies, and can contribute just as much to the church as anyone from North America can. And I thought that was a fascinating insight.
He's absolutely correct. Most of these young Brazilian missionaries, they know that the vast majority of the Americans have been born and raised in the church. They've had the opportunity to attend seminary and institute. They've gone to Especially for Youth. They've gone to youth conferences. They've gone to scout camps. They've had all of this training, quorums, Aaronic priesthood outings and quorums, and training within these quorums. And yet, as they serve side by side, they see that they have the same potential.
Right.
And it increases their self-esteem, their belief in themselves, and the fact that they can move forward, that they can go home and serve as bishops and stake presidents. And so it does create within them a sense of self-worth and esteem, which will greatly bless their lives throughout the remainder of their life.
Let's hear more about your missionaries, President Fry. You mentioned the split. It's about 70-30 Brazilian to non-Brazilians. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
And what about sisters to elders? What's the demographic there?
Well, we currently have 130 missionaries, and 20 of those are sisters. So that's going to be, about 15% sisters?
Right.
That's run pretty true for the last, for the 3 years that we've been here. Most of those sisters are Brazilian sisters, and some of them a little bit older. We have sisters in their 30s who wanted to serve and who are serving. The demographic stays about the same as far as percentage also, about the same percentage of Brazilian sisters compared to American sisters, about 65% to 70% Brazilian.
And these missionaries, most of them obviously native there, what MTC do they go to? I know there's a missionary training center there in Brazil itself. Do most go there? Do they come to the Provo MTC and then go down and continue their language training? How does that work?
No, they all go to the MTC in São Paulo.
So if you're called to Brazil, you don't go to Provo at all. It's all down in Brazil.
That's correct. Even the North American missionaries. Now, once in a great while, you'll have an American missionary who is having trouble getting a visa to enter the country, and he may start his MTC experience in Provo. But generally, it's just for a week or two. But 99% of them spend all of their time in the MTC in São Paulo.
And how many weeks is that? What is the program there?
Well, for the North Americans, it's a regular two-month program, just as it is in Provo.
Right.
Language preparation, gospel preparation, missionary preparation. For the Brazilian missionaries who do not need the language training, they spend 19 days there. And most of that is spent on gospel instruction, missionary techniques, those kinds of things. So, again, North Americans, it's a two-month experience. Native Brazilians, it's a 19-day experience.
Is the missionary training center, is it close by a temple? Are all the missionaries endowed before they go out from Brazil? And I only ask that question because a lot of church members don't realize that in places like West Africa, that's not, or at least historically, it was not always the case, that missionaries would have the blessings of the temple before they actually went out. What's the situation in Brazil?
No, you're absolutely right. The MTC is very, very close to the São Paulo temple, and I'm not sure what the percentage would be. Many of the missionaries, before they enter the MTC, will have been endowed. As you mentioned, there are temples in different parts of Brazil. However, many of them, for instance, the young missionaries that leave the area where we live and serve, do not have a temple close. So they're interviewed by stake presidents or branch presidents and bishops and mission presidents. They enter the MTC with a current temple recommend, but actually are endowed in the temple and receive the temple blessings as they arrive at the MTC in São Paulo.
I see.
And I'm not sure what the percentage would be, but there would be a large number of them who go to the temple after they have entered the MTC.
Very interesting. How do they actually do missionary work on a regular basis? Every missionary in the world has had such a different experience, but what are some of the general themes of your particular mission there in Brazil? Are they out street contacting? Are they going house to house? Is there much member missionary work? Are there referrals? Tell us about day-to-day on-the-ground proselyting.
Well, I assume that in most missions there are different techniques that are used depending on the local culture and laws, so on and so forth. Here in our area, we apply a variety of techniques. Street contacting always has been, and I suppose always will be, one of the main techniques that a missionary uses. Sometimes a door-to-door approach, tracting, as we have come to call it in the church. Here in Brazil, there's a program, the pass-along cards. I'm not sure whether most of your listeners know what that is, but here in Brazil, there are three different cards. They're small pass-along cards. Here they're called friendship cards.
Uh-huh.
And there are three different kinds. One offers a Book of Mormon. Another one offers a small booklet on how to strengthen your family. And the third offers a DVD about Jesus Christ and about his life. That's one of the main ways that members are involved here. But as church leaders have always said, missionary work never will be what it should be without the help of the members. And so we rely an awful lot on members, members' referrals, friends, neighbors, family, acquaintances. Missionaries are taught to ask referrals from everyone. And certainly is much easier when members are used in the teaching process of people whom they already know. And so it's just a variety of techniques and methods that are used, but those four are probably the main techniques that the missionaries use.
I see. And what percentage of the day would you say missionaries are out finding versus teaching? How many discussions, for instance, would most missionaries teach on a weekly basis?
Well, on a weekly basis, in our mission, they would probably teach between 30 and 40 lessons a week. Again, it's probably easier here in this country than it is in some countries.
Right.
But if you think about that, if you're teaching four, some teach more than that, but if you're teaching 40 lessons a week, you divide that by the number of days, that's lots of teaching.
That is a lot of teaching.
It's lots of teaching. And I would suspect that on an average, most missionaries would spend 3 to 4 hours a day in finding and then the rest of the day in teaching lessons.
In terms of other things the missionaries do while they're there, are there many service opportunities for your elders and sisters?
Yes, we're involved with service. You have to remember that missionaries are called to teach the gospel, and they're not called to be service missionaries. And when they do participate in service-type projects, it should be with the intent to find someone to teach or to take people that they're teaching and participate in those projects to strengthen bonds and relationships. So service projects is not a major part of what they do, but it is one of the things that they participate in once in a while in order to help further their major calling, which is to teach the gospel.
Well, I think that's the ideal. It sounds wonderful what's going on in Brazil. Before we conclude today, President Fry, do you have any other last thoughts you'd like to share? And then I'd also like to hear your testimony both in English and Portuguese, if that would be all right.
You bet. Well, we're grateful to be involved. The church is a very dynamic and growing organization. When you think about what's happening in the world, it is almost mind-boggling. And you take the kind of organization that it is and the kind of growth that it's experiencing, and it's all done through voluntary efforts. people who volunteer their time and their energies, it simply is amazing as to what takes place and what is happening. We feel very privileged to be here and to participate in it. We love the young missionaries that we deal with. They're a great treasure, and this experience of being a mission president is very, very unique. I truly do not think there's another calling like it in all of the church. Those who have served as mission presidents will tell you that. The relationship, the love that is formed with these young people, and to learn about them and to understand their backgrounds and what many of them are giving up to participate and to be involved, it's just a great blessing, and we consider ourselves very blessed to be a part of it. I suppose we could say that to be a mission president, one must have a testimony at times, at different periods in your life, depending on what's happening. It's not the easiest thing to close up a business and sell the things that you have and to leave your family and to leave the country and to go someplace where culture and climate and food and way of life is different. It's not the easiest thing, but we do it because we believe very strongly in what we're doing. I am grateful to have a testimony. There are many things that are important in my life, but a few things that are precious. And those things that are precious, I would consider my family and my testimony. I have no doubt that God lives. He is the great, all-powerful, all-knowing being that created the universe and everything that exists within it. And yet more than that, He is a loving Heavenly Father. And the whole intent of His purposes, His work, and His glory is to have us return and to live in His presence and to enjoy eternal life with Him. Because of that, He sent His Son. I have a testimony of Jesus Christ. I know that He was born on the earth, that He walked the earth, that He organized a church, that He taught a gospel, which is His doctrine, and it is the recipe which we must follow to return to His presence. I have a great testimony of the Book of Mormon. I love the Book of Mormon. And to me, it's very simple. I'm not a complicated person. The Book of Mormon is true, and because of that, Joseph was a prophet. And Joseph was a prophet, the church is true. Sometimes there are things that maybe we don't understand or can't completely explain. But the Book of Mormon is true. I know that it is. And consequently, I know that the church is true. Quero prestar-lhes meu testemunho, sei sem sombra de dúvida, que essa é a igreja verdadeira aqui na face da terra. Sinto muito privilegiado de servir na igreja. Sei que Jesus Cristo vive. Ele é o cabeça desta igreja. Temos profeta atual, e por meio dele, o Senhor guia essa igreja. Sei que o livro de Mormon é verdadeiro. Não tenho dúvida a respeito disso. Tudo isso eu deixo humildemente, em nome de Jesus Cristo. Amen.
Well, President Fry, thank you for sharing your thoughts about missionary work down in Brazil, or your own personal insights and testimony. I hope that our listeners fully appreciate how the Lord's work continues to move forward in this part of the Lord's vineyard, and hope that the Lord's choicest blessings are upon you and the missionaries and church members that are laboring in that part of the world.
Thank you very much for your interest, and we wish you good luck on your radio station. We understand that it's something that's brand new that started, and hope that it's nothing but the best for you.
Well, it's been wonderful so far. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Into All the World.